throughout the 60s and 70s.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
We are coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Well, Rocket can. 20 minutes from now, former Auburn quarterback Jason Campbell will be stopping by to react to the news that Brian Harsin has been fired as the head coach of Auburn. And we'll try to find out who won Jason Campbell. This news, not even a day old, is already trying to think about be the next head football coach of his alma mater. But first up, without further ado, and I'm going to talk about Freddie Adu, it's time to hit up a news brief.
Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
I thought that game last night on Sunday Night Football on NBC, was going to be ugly. Not that it was a pretty game. The damage, though, wasn't as bad as what I thought it was going to be. You had two bad turnovers by Josh Allen, which makes it look a little bit closer than it actually was. But the Bills, they beat the Packers 27-17. Aaron Rodgers on if he feels like more is being asked of him for the offense to succeed.
I don't feel any added pressure. I like more on me. I enjoy the pressure, enjoy the opportunities to throw the ball down the field, and hopefully we can get some opportunities next week with these guys healthy, though.
No, all the pressure is on you. You make $50 million a year. I don't want to hear that Davante Adams is no longer there. When you make $50 million a year, you better be a playoff quarterback, bare minimum. And right now, your team is trending in the direction of missing the playoffs and not making the playoffs. But really, Ryan, when you look at the Packers, and we said this when LaFleur first got there, he made an emphasis, we're going to run the football more. I think they really need to run the football a lot more than they've been. And you saw last night, Aaron Jones goes 20 carries for 143 yards. A.J. Dillon, 10 carries, 54 yards. If they want to start winning some more games with the offense at the receiver position not showing any consistency. I know Romeo Doubs last night had a few nice catches and had the touchdown. Amari Rodgers been lost. Christian Watson got hurt. You know, Randall Cobb is on IR. Lazard's been in that lineup. For the short term, and I think we've both been saying this the last few weeks, as much as you don't want to take the ball out of Rodgers' hands, you almost have to at this point. Because after Rodgers, who are your two best players on offense? Aaron Jones and A.J. Dillon. And you got games coming up against the Lions. You got some tough games. Cowboys, Titans, Eagles. I think you really need to run the ball and go on these long drives, slow, go down the field. And that's probably your best way to win more games than you probably will this year.
It's ironic when you have, like you said, a Hall of Fame quarterback and the great Aaron Rodgers.
Back-to-back MVP.
You're 100% right. And I think it's very telling. They were down by two or three scores basically the whole night, right? They had more rush attempts than pass attempts. You never see that.
No, never.
You even in trailing, they still said, you know, our best chance for a comeback is running the ball.
Let's go to Stephon Diggs on the trash talk between him and Jaire Alexander last night, which you saw was a little tunnel incident when they were running out onto the field.
I used to play them in the past, so it wasn't like something I anticipated him, I don't know, doing that he did. I didn't anticipate that. I finished it. You know what I'm saying? I got the win.
Yeah, that was bizarre last night. Do they have, like, bad blood between them?
You know, Vikings-Packers, you know, they used to play against each other for a while. I think two proud guys.
But Stephon Diggs is not shy. They get in each other's face? That was, like, a little bit bizarre to me.
One tunnel, you know, it's a rare opportunity when you have both teams coming out of the same tunnel.
Well, we'll get into the whole tunnel incident coming up later with Michigan State. How about Michigan State, by the way? Couldn't beat up Michigan on the field, and then off the field, they have to go jump a player from Michigan. Weak by Michigan State. I'll get into what Jim Harbaugh had to say later on in this segment. Let's hear from Pete Carroll. After the game, I got to give credit to whoever this reporter was. He raised his hand and said, hey, there's this guy on national radio, Hot Take Hickey, has been killing you all offseason. Said you guys have no shot before the year started. Said you're a coach that's donezo, you're finished, and your quarterback's going to stink, and the Seahawks are going to stink. Now, that's what Hot Take Hickey said, and I'm surprised Pete answered. And he had a little message for Hot Take Hickey surrounding his coaching ability and how so many people are really just very wrong right now.
You know, all the people that doubt, like, you're losing that, you know, like, we run the ball too much, you don't understand football, and, you can't stay up with the new game and all that kind of stuff. That's a bunch of crap, I'm telling you. But look, we're doing fine. We're all right. So I don't mind proving it day in and day out.
Wow. Pete Carroll says Hot Take Hickey doesn't understand football, doesn't know crap. Any response there?
Through 8 games, Pete? Congratulations. So far, so good.
Oh, I don't care what happens the rest of the way. I'm sorry. This is already a win for Pete Carroll. You thought that they weren't even going to get probably 5 wins this season.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely not.
This is already a win.
Although
this is
no,
you wait and see. Even if they miss the playoffs, it's not embarrassing. If they go get 3 more wins on this season and get to 8, I don't care if they finish 8-9. This is a successful season for the Seattle Seahawks, especially with how Russell Wilson's looking and the pick you're going to get back from Denver. What do you think the Seahawks will do the rest of the way? You were wrong before the year. Where's your prediction at now?
I still will be surprised if they make the playoffs.
I think they're making the playoffs. I really do.
I will trust the talent of the Rams. Giants
talent,
and Cowboys
though?
have a head start already.
What talent, though, on the Rams? Their line, they have no talent.
Matthew Stafford, you have
good,
Cooper Kupp. You have a good defense, a really good
he's
defense.
He's good, not
loaded
great.
Loaded defense.
Yeah, but that defense is a very good defense. I wouldn't call them a great defense. And on offense, their only weapon is Cooper Kupp. And if it's just one guy, I'm sorry. One guy doesn't win in the National Football League.
You need Sean McVay. Let's go. Boy genius. Give him credit for all his offensive, thoughts. This has to be a second half where Sean McVay is able to scheme things up, earn
now,
your money.
I'm not going
to
kill McVay because he just won a Super Bowl. But this has not been a good start to the year for McVay and Matt LaFleur when everyone was basically slobbering over those two the last 3 years. This has not been a good start for Mr. McVay. Let's go to Tyler Lockett. He says the team is succeeding because no one cares who gets the credit.
Well, I think the biggest thing is it's amazing what we can accomplish when nobody cares who gets the credit. You know, my high school coach used to always talk about that, basketball coach. And when you look at this team that we have, I mean, we have a bunch of guys that are willing to buy in. When you look at the rookie class, they probably haven't said 500 words since they've been here. Like, they just put their head down and work, like, literally. And they listen. They do whatever you want them to be able to do.
Now, I hear that, and my first thought is really he's saying that they succeed because everyone cares about the team and no one cares about who gets the credit. And then he goes right into his high school coach. People are saying, oh, you got to hear the full thing. I hear that full thing. That sounds like a shot at Russell Wilson.
How's it not? Yeah, I'm with you.
I see people, though, on Twitter, and Twitter could be a cesspool. They're like, oh, you got to hear the whole thing. You got to hear the whole thing. I just heard the whole thing. Wasn't it always in Seattle? Russell Wilson's not happy because the Legion of Boom's getting the praise. Marshawn Lynch is getting the praise. Pete Carroll's getting the praise. And there was insecurities with Russell Wilson.
And who else would be caring about getting the credit that's not there anymore?
Exactly.
There's only one guy. Everyone else is basically
one
the
guy.
Same.
And it's
right?
The guy that are
Pete
eating Danger Witch sandwiches. Yeah. And oof. Did you see he did the gets a win, Broncos country, let's run. I know he did it after a loss, but doesn't someone have to get in his ear and say, hey, knock off that crap? How about you win like 4 games in a row before you say Broncos country, let's ride, Mr. High Knees?
And I guess he's truly unlimited in London, I guess. Maybe that's it.
Yeah. Unlimited content on social media to get clowned about. Zach Wilson. The Jets, man. The Jets are funny. You want to know why they're funny? Because I live in New York all week long. All I'm hearing from Jets fans, you got to be worried about the Jets. You got to be worried about the Jets. Don't get me wrong. Jets have had a good start to the season. How can the Jets be an underdog against Bill Belichick? Zach Wilson threw 3 interceptions. The Jets have a talented roster. Quarterback's not looking too hot. Zach Wilson says he cannot have another game of 3 interceptions.
There's some good, but I got to eliminate, you know, the bad plays there. I had a couple chances there to just throw the ball out of bounds. Got too greedy with it. You know, frustrated with some stalled drives, and I got to be able to throw the ball away.
So late in the game between the 49ers and the Rams had a 14-10 lead at halftime. They got blanked in the second half, 21-0. Late in the game, Sean McVay had Cooper Kupp on the field. He got hurt. Now, it doesn't look like there's any significant damage. He's considered day-to-day. But at first, it looked like it was a pretty devastating injury. Sean McVay regrets leaving Cooper Kupp in the game during a blowout.
That's why you wanted to try to be smart getting out of the game. And I'm kicking myself for, you know, not running the football again. But I'm hopeful that he's okay. It looked like it was his ankle when I was out there with Dr. Elotrosh.
Who would have thought, by the way, that the craziest game of yesterday, going into it, was the NFC South first place showdown between a Panthers team that had two wins going into it and the Falcons, who had three wins going into it. Now, PJ Walker threw a 62-yard bomb with no timeouts, and it was caught by DJ Moore, who made a heck of a catch. Now, on the drive earlier, Walker, it was on 4th-and-17, I think, threw a dart right over the middle, and DJ Moore uncharacteristically dropped it. So you had the redemption moment. He takes off his helmet in a tie game after catching the game-tying touchdown, 15 yards, and that requires a penalty, moves back the extra point. Extra point's no good. Then in overtime, the kicker basically missed what would have been an extra point anyway for a field goal that would have won the game. Falcons go down the field. Younghoe Koo hits his own game-winning field goal. Let's hear DJ Moore and why he took his helmet off after scoring the touchdown.
I don't know. It was a spectacular play. I just let it loose. So, but I got to understand that there's still time on the clock. Can't do that. When I seen everybody running on the field, jumping around, but then I looked at the clock. I seen the clock out the corner of my eye. I was like, oh,
I actually hate that penalty. That is an awful penalty. It is a dumb rule. I know people yesterday, like I had this conversation with Jody when I was hosted Ion Football. Jody goes, oh, DJ Moore's an idiot. Like, what? I know it's the rule, but you have a touchdown like that, 62 yards. You're in a state of a frenzy, euphoria, shock. It's unbelievable. So, yeah, it's a natural reaction. I would rip my helmet off, too, and I would go nuts and I would go crazy. They got to revise that rule. Because once a touchdown happens, I get it maybe if you're going from play to play in a game, you don't want something like that to happen. But once a touchdown happens, you're bringing on a whole new unit for the extra point. There's no player safety concerns there. Ryan, I absolutely hate that rule. I think it's a horrible rule. And I'm giving DJ Moore a pass for it yesterday. Don't call that in that spot. I know it's the rule, but it's a dumb rule. They need to change it.
Yeah, I don't see how you can criticize him because, like you mentioned, it was improbable, basically. The fact that it's like just a Hail Mary pass, 12 seconds left. You just had your team blow the lead. You mentioned DJ Moore dropped a clutch pass early in the game. It's just like you can't help it. It's a state of euphoria. I can't criticize him.
Let's go to Josh McDaniels, who we could all criticize after yesterday. He apologizes to Raiders fans for the team's awful performance.
I have to do a much better job of getting ourselves ready to go here. We're better than that. And, I apologize to Raider Nation for that performance. And, again, I own that. That's my responsibility. So we have to do much better, obviously, in every phase of the game to be able to compete with a team like that who's well-coached, has good players. They obviously came ready to play and did a much better job than we did. So starts with me, and we're going to work hard, and we're going to fix it.
Well, the offense can't get shut out. You're an offensive genius, supposedly. Your offense got shut out. And then defensively, the one guy that couldn't go off, you allowed to go off in Alvin Kamara. That's a horrible performance by the Raiders. So after this Michigan-Michigan State game, Michigan State was never in the game. You have that one tunnel where both teams leave. Michigan State, multiple Michigan State players got into a fight with one Michigan player. I saw a video of one player swinging his helmet at the Michigan player. Just real classless for Michigan State. You can't beat up a team on the field, so you try to jump someone off the field. That's weak. It's gutless. Jim Harbaugh says that the Michigan State players involved in the brawl should be criminally charged.
What happened in the tunnel was egregious. sickening to watch the videos, the ones that are on social media right now, and also the ABC tunnel cam. It's in a higher elevation that shows much more of what took place. As I said, those are sickening to watch. There needs to be accountability. There needs to be a full, thorough, timely investigation. I can't imagine that this will not result in criminal charges. An apology will not get the job done in this instance. There should be serious consequences for the many individuals that are culpable.
Scary stuff, no doubt about it. We'll see what happens when law enforcement does get involved. But for now, the four Michigan State players that were involved in this incident have been suspended. I saw that was released earlier today from Michigan State and also Mel Tucker. That's a News Brief. Zach Gelb shows CBS Sports Radio. Quick update. World Series Game 3 has been postponed because of rain in Philadelphia. So now Game 3 will be tomorrow night at 8:03 p.m. Eastern. And then you will have scheduled Game 4 and Game 5 be on Wednesday and Thursday. Now, Thursday, the Texans play the Eagles. That's going to be going head-to-head against the Philadelphia Phillies and the Houston Astros. Now, go get two TVs if you're a fan of both Philadelphia or Houston. But in reality, like, I know the Eagles are 7-0 and the Eagles are king. If you could only watch one, you would definitely put Game 5 of the World Series in front of what's going to be an Eagles blowout victory. And if you're a Texans fan, it's not even a decision. Forget about the Texans. You're definitely going to be watching the Houston Astros. And then there is a travel day on November 4th, and Game 5 and Game 6 would then be Saturday and Sunday. So that would be being moved to Saturday and Sunday. So that is the 5th and the 6th of November. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will take a break. We come on back. We get Jason Campbell's reaction to Brian Harsin getting fired at Auburn and who could be the next head coach of War Eagles.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
And you can think of Riley Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service for the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You had the sense going into this Auburn football season that it wasn't a matter of if Brian Harsin was going to get fired, just when was it going to occur. Today is that answer. Brian Harsin out at Auburn. Cadillac Williams going to take over as the interim head coach. Let's go out to the guest line right now. Welcome in an Auburn legend, their former quarterback in Jason Campbell. Jason, appreciate the time. How you been?
I'm doing great, guys. Thank y'all for having me on. I know everything today was something a lot of people saw coming. So, you know, it's just the business part of football.
Yeah, you can't be shocked by the news today. If you follow college football, you knew that this was going to happen. But what was your reaction when it became official?
Well, just being at the games over the last couple of weeks, and you understand that this is a winning business. And as long as you're winning and being in competition and things are looking upward, then, you know, people are going to kind of rally behind that. But, you know, just over the last couple of weeks, it just seems like a lot of the air has gone out of the program. A lot of the energy hasn't been there. And any time that that's happening, you know, unfortunately a change is going to have to be made. And especially when we live in a society where recruiting is so huge and, you know, you want to give the recruits and let them know that, hey, you know, Auburn is going to do everything they can to get this thing going back in the right direction and, you know, to just be able to, you know, give it a chance and understand, too, when you're bringing a new AD, the first thing you don't want him to have to do is have to fire someone, you know, as a coach at his first job on campus. So I think that's something that played a factor in as well. If you know you're going to be looking for going in a different direction, then you have to go ahead and do what you have to do at this time and just start to try to, you know, start the building process and start the process of giving the AD a chance to interview people that he would like to interview and not have to rush the process. So this gives him time to come up with a decision that'll be best for Auburn here later in the year.
I know you love your school. How would you, though, describe the brand of Auburn football right now?
Yeah, that's the thing. I know a lot of people give us a bad slap because of everything that happened this offseason and, you know, things that have happened. But Auburn is a great school. You know, we're really a family atmosphere. And, you know, anyone that comes on our campus can tell that and see that. And you know, it just unfortunately, like, if you make a hire and, you know, fortunately it just didn't fit. You know, Allen Green was the guy who brought in the AD and, you know, like I said, liked him as a person, but, you know, didn't have a lot of experience in the Southeastern Conference. And then you bring in, you know, Brian Harsin as a head coach who, you know, was out west and hasn't had a lot of experience with the Southeastern Conference. And, you know, it's all about relationships and knowing people. And unfortunately, when that's not the case, and the biggest recruiting is, you have to have chemistry with a lot of these high school coaches in the Southeastern Conference. You have to have, you know, familiar with the conference, understand the importance of it on a day-to-day basis. And, you know, like I said, nothing against Harsin. I've had conversations with him and everything, and you know, have no problem with him. But at the same time, though, it's all about what's going on between those lines on the football field. And when things aren't looking promised, it doesn't look like they're going in the right direction, then, you know, someone is going to be moved. And in this case, you know, he was relieved of his duties today. And I'm pretty sure as a coach, it's probably frustrated and it's hurtful because you want to succeed and you feel like you didn't succeed. But at the same time, though, you have to understand that the school has to make the best decision that's best for the school and to put us back in a position of being a winning program. You know, we've lost 7 out of the last 8 SEC games. And, you know, the Missouri game, a guy fumbles the ball at the goal line. Otherwise, it's 8 out of the last 8. And that's not, you know, going in the right direction.
Jason Campbell here with us on the Zach Gelb Show. When they hired Brian Harsin, and I know a lot of people thought that Gus Malzahn ran his course at Auburn, but I think Gus is a really good head football coach. I wondered if they were going to be able to bring in a guy that was better than Gus. And it seemed as if the Brian Harsin hire from the start was underwhelming. Do you agree with that? Because it seemed like he was doomed from the start at Auburn.
It was like from the start of it, like, you know, once they had moved on from Gus, you know, I'm not sure there was a plan. You know, like I said, like, as far as having a next coach that they wanted to go to, like, right in hand. And unfortunately, when you have your top two guys and neither one of them take the job, now you're scrambling a little bit on trying to find out, okay, how do we fill this space? And unfortunately, you know, you go through the process, and like I said, your Coach Harsin, it was a big step up, you know, to come from Boise State and, you know, into the SEC. And you know, financially, it worked out for him from that standpoint. But from a coaching standpoint, though, I think people realize how tough it is to coach in this conference, and especially when you're playing Georgia every year, Bama every year, and LSU every year on your schedule. You know, those are tough games, and they're big rivalry games. And you have to not only win on the field, like I said before, you have to win in recruiting. And that comes with relationships and people being familiar with you, coaches, high school coaches being familiar with you. And you're the new guy coming in, and they already have a familiarity with a lot of these other coaches, or these other coaches already have experience, you know, at the Power Five level, then, you know, you're playing catch up from the get-go. And, you know, I think Auburn has kind of learned a lot through this situation and learned a lot about understanding what it is that we need and the sense of direction that we need to go. And, you know, and being able to tie certain people back to the university that are loyal to the university and love the university and do everything they can to make sure we're back in a successful place.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s,
if you love to travel, you love cool experiences, you are going to love Viator. Viator is the world's leading travel experience marketplace. And for me, Sun Valley skiing is huge on my bucket list. So I just opened the Viator app, searched Sun Valley, and boom, custom ski and boot fittings and tickets delivered right to our condo. Pretty unbelievable. Just download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking. One app, over 300,000 experiences you'll remember. Do more with Viator.
And I think this is why they're making decisions and trying to get things going, because they don't want to waste any more time. If they see something that's not going in the right place, they just got to cut their losses and understand that, hey, we got to get this one right, and we have to make sure that we're pointing everybody in the right direction. We have to make sure that the guys, that some of the players, that some of the team can just take a deep breath and find a way to these next 4 weeks to just play for each other and play together and understand what you're putting on film. The next coach that comes in here, he's going to see that. And you want to make sure that you're representing the name on the back of your jersey and the emblem that's on the side of your helmet in the best way possible, because that's when I find out the most about you, is through tough times, not when everything is going well, but can you lace it up and go out there and fight for each other when things haven't been going your way lately?
Jason Campbell here with us. I know it's really, really, really early, but is there a name already that you go, okay, this is a guy that I want to be the next head football coach at Auburn?
I wouldn't say there's a name. I just think they have to go through the process. I understand, like, they probably should put 5 to 7 guys out there that they really, really should target, and then just go through the interview process and a relationship. The hardest thing about this is we're still in season. And so a lot of these coaches you're not going to be able to talk to or even touch until the season is over with. So, you know, most of it is going to have to be self-evaluation of studying, you know, the program, and then studying what is it that we need and who do we need to help lead this and help galvanize this program and get it back to being one of the most dominant programs in college football, you know, being an elite program and where we're competing at a high level. So I just think, you know, we have to get a new AD an opportunity to do his due diligence and also to not rush this, because that's why you make the decision at this time, so you don't have to feel rushed. And everyone to just, are you going to please everybody? No, you're not going to please everybody. It doesn't matter who you hire. Everybody's not going to be on board, but it's not about everybody. It's about what's best for the program and who do you trust to operate at this point. So, but like I said, there are some great candidates out there and everything. Like I said, Auburn is a great, great job. If anybody tells you differently, then they're wrong. It is one of the most profound football jobs in college football. Definitely one of the top 10 in college football programs. So, and like I said, people care about it here. They love it. And, you know, with the right leadership, you know, this thing can get stirred up really fast and get going back in the right direction because of the transfer portal. And if you look at what Josh Heupel has done at Tennessee within the transfer portal, how fast he was able to turn things around. It's not like the old days where you have to let recruits get older and everything. But nowadays, you can change things quickly with the transfer portal.
Would Deion Sanders excite you? Because I've seen that name thrown around a lot on social media today.
Well, Deion is a great guy, man. He's a great guy. He's extremely well thought of. And the thing about it is, you know, Deion has done so much for the HBCU. My dad went to the HBCU college, and it would be a huge loss from the SWAT community if he was to jump after this year, after what he's done in such a quick time, and giving them the platform that they deserve and the opportunities that they've gotten and the TV opportunities and everything. It is such a great opportunity for them to get to this level. And it would be a huge loss for the SWAT and everything. And that's the part that's hard about this, because with Deion name being on a lot of people's radar this year, yes, a lot of colleges are going to interview him, and rightfully so. But this is an African-American, man. I just enjoy what he's doing for the brand of HBCU and giving those kids opportunities that they never could even imagine and everything. But with Auburn accepting, yeah, we would accept him, no doubt, because he's a exceptional coach and a person, you know, someone that has a redemption story. But some things are just bigger than football.
I appreciate the answer, and it's definitely a fair response, and I respect it. Another name that's thrown out there is Lane Kiffin. Would that be a name that would maybe get the juices flowing?
Well, Lane has always been a name. I think he came up last time they were looking for a coach, and like I said, he's a great offensive mind. Football is all about scoring touchdowns now that he's been putting points on the board, and you know, he's another guy that's going to get that attention and everything because like of what he is from an offensive mindset. And you know, Lane has been at a different major programs before and everything, so you know, he kind of understands what it is that comes along with moving from one program to another program. And I think it's a little bit harder once you do it within conference, but the same, especially on the SEC West side of it. So yeah, I'm pretty sure interviews and things will come calling for him and you know, and other coaches as well. But like I said, whoever the AD and the president feel fit for Auburn, I think is going to be the direction they go. And we have to get this one right, you know, because, you know, the last 2 years, you know, things haven't been what you really, really wanted. But we have got to get this right if we want to be a team. You know, we can't keep having a revolving door. So we just got to be patient this time and not rush it and get it right.
Jason Campbell, really do appreciate you carving out some time for us today. Hope all is well with you. And thanks so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
There's Jason Campbell joining us on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. Good stuff with him on the day that Brian Harsin was sent walking and packing from Auburn, and now they will open up a search, bring in a new AD from Mississippi State. They will now open up a new search for their next head football coach. Gus Malzahn was there for a while. Harsin didn't even last two seasons, and we will see who Auburn does hire next.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Good stuff there with Jason Campbell. Appreciate him joining us on the day that Brian Harsin has been fired by Auburn. So, Hickey, earlier you compiled the list of 10 names, and I gave you my thoughts on those 10 names. Give me those 10 names one more time, and I just want to see if we missed anyone, because there's one name, just one name. I don't necessarily think he's definitely going to get the job, but there's one name, and actually two names that I don't think we talked about that we should probably talk about. So give me those names one more time.
Lane Kiffin, Deion Sanders, Hugh Freeze, Mike Leach, Bill O'Brien, Matt Rhule, Lance Leipold, Mike Gundy, Urban Meyer, and last but not least, Coach O.
Here's two more that I will give you here. What about Luke Fickell? Luke Fickell did a heck of a job and has done a heck of a job at Cincinnati. Seemed like he could have got a big job last offseason. Did not do so. Would Luke Fickell, who got Cincinnati to the college football playoff, excite you if you were an Auburn fan?
It would. I don't think he'd be interested.
Why not?
He had a chance to go to Notre Dame. Didn't want to. I don't think he's a Southern guy. Like a fit there for the culture.
Now, you got to remember, at the time, he had a team in the college football playoff, and he didn't want to deal with any of the jobs as they were getting ready for that college football playoff game.
And he can say that, but I mean,
I'm just,
there are plenty of jobs that were open after they got, you know, eliminated.
Let me ask you this. Is he banking on two things? Either Ryan Day doesn't win a national championship in the next few years, and then maybe Ryan Day gets a little stale at Ohio State, or is he banking? Because I would have thought that he would have taken the Notre Dame job. I do agree with you on that, and he didn't. Or does maybe he think Ryan Day, who has NFL experience before, is only going to be around Ohio State for a few more years and then bolt to the NFL? Is he just waiting for that Ohio State job again?
I mean, you would think, unless he's just insanely happy at Cincinnati, they're going to the Big 12. The college football playoff is expanding. So, again, you can build your kind of own program if you want to and try to build it up and to be a consistent winner every single year. But I would say right now his motivation, yes, is more Ohio State driven.
Because if you look at the jobs that were open last year, USC, Notre Dame, Oklahoma, LSU, those are bigger name jobs than the jobs open this year. And we don't even know how open Wisconsin is, because it just seems inevitable that it's going to be Jim Leonard. Nebraska is not a big, big, it's a big job, not a big, big job anymore. And Auburn, it's a big job.
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Throughout the 60s and 70s,
the listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Virtua Health is here. Here for you in all the moments that matter. Because they all matter. Here to be your trusted healthcare partner. From the simple to the serious, we ensure you can feel your best and live your life to the fullest. Find a Virtua physician at Virtua.org. Virtua Health. Here for good.
Get me wrong, but the jobs last year, if you're a guy like Fickell, who probably could have picked a lot of the jobs that he wanted with what he did, if he didn't leave last year, I would probably agree with you that he's not going to leave this year. But you at least got to call. You at least got to see if he's interested, because that would be a pretty damn good hire. Now, here,
100%.
Here is one already in the SEC. And let me just say this, preface my comments by saying I don't think he would take the job because he didn't go to Oklahoma last year. Maybe didn't want to be in the shadow of his brother. But Mark Stoops, I don't think he's leaving Kentucky. We've had conversations about that. I don't think he's leaving Kentucky anytime soon. He seems pretty comfortable at Kentucky as well. Now, on the surface, it would appear that Auburn would be a step up, but he's done a really good job at Kentucky. And he even tried to challenge John Calipari when Calipari said the obvious statement that Kentucky was a basketball school. How about Mark Stoops? I don't think he's leaving, but I think it's a name that Auburn at least has to see if he would be interested.
I agree on both fronts. I don't think he would leave, but with that said, like, you have to call. He's built Kentucky up to be a consistent middle-tier team. You think with better talent and more resources at Auburn, you could take that program to the next level.
Who are your three top candidates?
Lane Kiffin, Hugh Freeze, Lance Leipold.
Okay. My top three, Lane Kiffin, in no order, Deion Sanders, and I'll go Luke Fickell. Those would be my top three candidates right now. I think I really do believe. If I take one, if you only had to give one guess, I think it's going to be Lane Kiffin. I think Lane would have no problem leaving Ole Miss. I think there's more upside at Auburn. I wonder how much of the frustration from early in the year, our fans got to actually get to the games on time and stop at the Grove before, you know, too much time there and all that. I don't know about you. I feel like Lane's going to be the guy there.
And especially with the resources Auburn has and the more money and recruiting ability than Ole Miss, it's...
It's like, how much better can Lane Kiffin do than what he's doing right now at Ole Miss?
Yeah, it's the ceiling is still... Ceiling's definitely higher at Auburn for sure. Like, it's frustrating because I want Lane to stay. I don't want him
so
to leave.
I
love what he's Ole Miss. I like how they're back to being a contender again.
But I don't think both feet are in the deep end at Ole Miss for Lane Kiffin. And that's a guy that, not that he wears out his welcome all the time necessarily, some places he does, but it seems like that's a guy that until he's back at one of those tippy-tippy top jobs, he's always thinking about the next job, and I think there would be enough sizzle for him. Auburn would be thrilled. The fans would be thrilled, but I think for him there would also be enough sizzle for him to say, yeah, I have something good working right here at Ole Miss, but I'll take that leap to Auburn.
Can we continue to get nuts?
You want to get crazy? Yeah, it's Halloween. Okay. Let's get crazy.
Let's get crazy. Let's just live in a world where A&M fires Jimbo Fisher at the end of the year.
Which, let me just say this. I do not think Jimbo Fisher is getting fired after this season. They're going to let him play, especially what happened over the weekend. I know they lost and Connor Wigman got hurt a little bit, but I would think that they're going to give him a full year with Connor Wigman.
If he gets canned, if you're Auburn, do you go for it?
No, I wouldn't. I think Jimbo Fisher, I don't know if because overrated makes it seem like you're a horrible coach. I think Jimbo Fisher is just a good coach, a very good coach. I don't think he's a great coach. I would rather go with Lane Kiffin, or even an unknown of how would Luke Fickell do at a place like Auburn? How would Deion Sanders do at a place like Auburn? Those names, Deion Sanders, Luke Fickell, Lane Kiffin, would be more exciting to me than Jimbo Fisher, because so far Jimbo Fisher at A&M, it's been all talk, it's been all hype. He has all the resources in the world. They just had the number one recruiting class. You haven't seen the results on the field. And I think he'll get another year because of the job that he's done in recruiting and the quarterback that they have. But next year, his seat is on fire to start off the season. There's no doubt about that. Where do you stand on that since you asked the question?
I wouldn't do it. I think overrated is a perfect word for him. because he gets a lot more praise than he deserves. He is paid like one of the highest paid college football coaches in all the country. He's not living up to that.
He's very similar to James Franklin.
He is not worth the money for sure. And he's, at this point, can't even build a consistent winner anywhere he goes.
Reactions from this past weekend in college football. Tennessee continues to show why they're the best team in the nation. They annihilated Kentucky. We all can't wait for Tennessee and Georgia this weekend. Michigan and Ohio State. That was a tough one for your Nittany Lions. Because they had more heart. They played the game closer than I thought it was going to be. They take the lead. Hickey's firing off tweets. Let's go. I don't know how this game's going to finish, but let's go. Let's go. And the moment I saw that tweet, I said, oh, he's taking the bait. I know it doesn't take much for you to take the bait. And then Ohio State just destroys you. I didn't think Stroud played all that great. I didn't like some of the management as well. But, geez, one player basically beat you on Ohio State.
Two players. Defensive. An offensive. One guy on each side. That's it. And it's killing.
Oh, Marvin Harrison Jr. on the offense side
of
the ball?
I mean, that's the only guy CJ Stroud was looking at. Only guy he was throwing to. Some big third down conversions. You got to play a perfect game, and you can't lose a turnover battle 4-0 and expect to win. You can't do it.
It's so clear, though. And we knew this all year, but just get to Ohio State, Michigan Thanksgiving weekend. Because Michigan easily took care of Michigan State. You knew that was going to be the case. Ohio State, it wasn't pretty, but they end up winning. But how much did they win by? Like, what, 20 points or something like that it ended up being? Because that one got away late.
Ohio State, 13. Penn State covered.
13?
Yeah.
Oh, did Penn State score late in that game?
Yeah, 44-31.
Okay. So, whoop-de-damn-do. Oh, so you got Hickey's Pickies right.
I did.
How'd you do this weekend?
3-2.
Okay, I'm going
for 2-3.
For a 3-0 night tonight. I need the Bengals minus the 3. That'd be big for me. Oregon continues to roll. You know what's so tough with Oregon? Now, I've been so impressed with Bo Nix. And how they recovered has been remarkable. And it's a heck of a job by Bo Nix and Dan Lanning. That first game, though, against Georgia, I still can't get it out of my mind. I know Georgia is really, 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 really great to defend the national champions. But I can't get that game out of my mind in terms of evaluating them. Like, they're a really good team. But if they get into the college football playoff and they go up against Georgia again, like, why would I expect really anything much different from that team the second go around? Like, maybe like it can't get worse than what it was, 49-3 the first time? But Oregon's still tough for me to evaluate, and we'll see if they still get out of the Pac-12.
They are one, I hope they make the playoff. They're
so
one of the hottest teams in college football. They are light years better today than they were on Labor Day weekend. New head coach, new quarterback. You're playing the defending champs in basically their backyard. Like, that's a tough spot for Oregon. There's a reason why not a lot of teams, you know, agree to games like that.
They just had to have a pulse in that game. They didn't even have a pulse.
Well, now they do.
Oklahoma State, I was so disappointed with them this weekend. You lose the game, that's one thing, right? Kansas State's having a heck of a season with Chris Klieman. They get blown out 48-0. You want to talk about having a pulse? They had no pulse. I was really buying into Oklahoma State this year. And that TCU game and then this past game against Kansas State just sucked all the air out of the balloon. That's brutal.
Defense is one of the worst in the country and kind of comes back to bite you at the worst times.
Horrible. Oh, the offense did nothing either.
Well, no, I mean, you're right. You're right, but that's how they're kind of winning. That's the reason why you lose the TCU games, because you're up by 17 the whole game. Get a stop. Can't do it. This, like I said, they were out of this game early. But
Quickly, who do you think are going to be your four teams at the end of the year?
I will say Ohio State, Tennessee. I'll go TCU, Oregon.
Wow. No Clemson. Even though I don't think Clemson is as good as an 8-0 record, I don't see how anyone's going to beat them in that ACC.
I'm intrigued by this weekend. I'm intrigued.
Are you really?
I am.
Because Notre Dame they had a nice win against Syracuse.
They're tough. They're physical. And they match up well with Clemson. If you can give that offensive line of Clemson a tough time, you can get to DJU. And that's what we've seen before. That's how you win the game.
Yeah, I can't trust Notre Dame this year. Not that I can really trust Clemson, but I'll trust Clemson more than I'll trust Notre Dame this weekend. I do think Clemson, unfortunately, is going to get the college football playoff this year. Well, come on back. We'll do no huddle offense, little week 8 style in the National Football League.
Throughout the 60s and 70s,
The listening you love is on the free Odyssey app. Your trusted local radio stations, coverage of your favorite teams, live news from your hometown, and millions of podcasts on demand. Best of all, you can completely customize your listening experience. Follow topics you care about, like leagues and teams. Pause or rewind your local sports and news, and add shows to your queue to catch up later. There's a lot to listen to, so get started and download the free Odyssey app today.
Finding a perfect suit can seem impossible, but finding a suit that's perfect for you is simple with Indochino. Choose your favorite fabric and customize every detail. Then submit your measurements online or get measured in store for a custom made-for-you fit at an incredible price. And with Indochino's fall collection featuring new colors and premium fabrics, you'll be in style all season long. Indochino makes it easy to craft a look that suits you perfectly. Suits start at just $449, and fitted shirts start at just $89. And you can fine-tune every detail, lapels, linings, monograms, and more. Create a personalized wardrobe that doesn't cost a fortune with options like shirts, casual wear, and outerwear. Want to elevate your look? Indochino lets you make any suit a tux. Design your perfect suit today with Indochino. Get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more with promo code FALLUPDATE at Indochino.com. That's INDOCHINO.com. Promo code FALLUPDATE.